This episode of Show Me Mo Success is brought to you by Recovery Friendly Workplace, a program under MU Extension's Business and Communities. Welcome to Show Me Mo Success, where we explore how people turn their passion into action to make a difference, and how MU Extension's Business and Communities program gave them a little assist along the way. I'm Luke Dieterle, Extension Specialist for Business and Communities, and today's guest is Kansas City resident Eric Cohen. In this episode, we'll discuss Eric's efforts to destigmatize substance use disorder by supporting individuals in recovery at his workplace, Ace Pipe Cleaner. We'll also talk to Doug Swanson, MU Extension Specialist in Labor and Workforce Development, and hear how he assisted Eric on his journey. All right. So, hey, to get us started here, Doug and Eric, how did you guys first connect?
Well, back in January, we were going over to recognize Ace Pipe, where Eric works, for becoming the latest of the Missouri businesses to become recovery friendly. And I had never met Eric before, but when we got there, they offered to give us a tour of their facility, which for me was just geek fest. You know, seeing the equipment and the technology that they're using, you know, was just really a real treat for me. And as we're getting the tour, as we're taking the tour, Eric asked me about this leather jacket, you know, I was wearing, this leather sport coat I was wearing, and you know, that's the first we met. And so it was really Eric reaching out and you know, befriending me, and we've become good friends, I think, ever since.
You know, and on my end of the spectrum, man, I saw these amazing men and women coming in to support something that I've always been privy to supporting myself, which is the Recovery Friendly Workplace Initiative. Well, mine's just recovery in general, but I met Brother Doug, man, and I, like he said, man, I asked him about that jacket because I thought he looked swaggy. I thought he looked cool. I said, I got to know about the jacket. And so it opened up a whole story about this amazing jacket, and how he relates it is just beautiful.
So, can you tell us a little bit about that jacket, Doug?
Well, yeah, it's not like most leather jackets. It's a leather sport coat, and it's kind of tan. It's a tan leather sport coat. It's 40 years old. My father had passed away just almost a year earlier than when I was over at Ace Pipe, and when my mother was taking care of his things. You know, she'd give me his leather Green Bay Packer jacket and this leather sport coat. And I just had it cleaned, and, you know, it's got some cracks in the leather, and the lining's got some stains and some tears. It's not perfect, but who amongst us is perfect? And so, I had just gotten it back from the cleaners, and it was hanging there, and it was January and in the Midwest. So I thought this would be a nice extra layer to have for this event. And so I grabbed it and was wearing it. And, it became our introduction. So
Eric, can you tell us a little bit about what Ace Pipe was doing to help folks in recovery, or if they were doing anything before Recovery Friendly stepped in?
So even prior to the Recovery Friendly Workplace Initiative and Ace accepting the opportunity to be a part of it, man, we were already working with a lot of recovery related individuals. Ace Pipe has always had a heart, so to speak, to hire people who are in need of second chances, maybe third or fourth, you know, and that doesn't only mean in the recovery ring, but also, you know, in maybe prisons or places of that nature as well. People that may not look like they fit the part to everybody else, but we have found them to be some of the most valuable and heartfelt people you can run across.
So now that Recovery Friendly is kind of baked in and part of the culture, how has that changed Ace Pipe's approach to working with those folks, or has it?
You know, I believe it's changed in transparency, because now I have the opportunity to be more open about what we're doing with our employees. And I think it gives them an air of trust and transparency to come speak with me about issues that they may be having. You know, as we've mentioned, man, drug use or substance use is highly taboo, especially in the workplace, especially talking about it with an employer. You know, it's just not one of those things you would ever do in your right mind without the right initiatives to do so, which is usually just keeping your job. But we, as well as RFW, the Recovery Friendly Workplace, man, we're trying to do something different in the state of Missouri, and we're trying to destigmatize the taboos and the brokenness of substance use.
And Luke, when you say it's baked into at Ace Pipe, you nailed it more so than you realize. Ace Pipe not only has become a recovery friendly workplace, their hard hats that they issue, you know, to their staff, you know, in the field, they have the Ace Pipe logo on one side and the recovery friendly logo on the other side. They've fully, you know, embraced it as part of their culture, you know, to the point of even co-branding their most visible piece of safety gear in the field, the hard hat.
So, given its visibility, do you, Eric, find that people are starting to seek out Ace Pipe as an employer, given the welcoming nature and just the ability to feel like, you know, you can be your true self at work and still be employed?
You know, honestly, man, I think a lot of it, I do believe that that is happening. But I believe a lot of it's happening through word of mouth, you know, other mm-hmm. employees spreading the word about what kind of place Ace is to work for. And I believe that has helped us immensely, you know, especially, you know, during a time in the world where jobs are difficult to obtain and keep. And, you know, Ace Pipe, we're a specialized skill and trade, but man, once you get in and you're in, you're part of the family, and it's an amazing thing. And I think that the Recovery Friendly Workplace Initiative has just boosted that. It's put it on steroids. You know, it really makes you feel like part of the family.
One of the other recovery friendly employers in Missouri, Tower Rock Stone over in St. Genevieve, they set up very well with the unintended consequence of becoming recovery friendly that they didn't see coming was the fact that they built ambassadorships, you know, in their workers, the workers who've received a second chance. And, you know, the employer stood by them and gave them a chance to return to work after dealing with their issues, or hired them knowing that they were in recovery or that they were justice involved. Those folks are out in the community singing that company's praises. And Tower Rock Stone said that's a benefit we never saw coming, but boy, is it a great benefit.
So I have to wonder, was the rollout pretty smooth, or did you face any kind of pushback or any kind of, obstacles in kind of getting the formal designation of being recovery friendly?
You know, actually, it wasn't so bad, man. And the initiative was brought to me by the VP of my company. So all the red flags and tape were already taken care of on their behalf. So all I really had to do was show up and be pretty. No.
All right.
Well, and I got to tell you, Tower Rock or Ace Pipe, when it came to recognizing it, you know, that the accomplishment of becoming recovery friendly and telegraphing that to the community, nobody did it better than they did. They invited community partners in to the designation ceremony. They gave tours of the facility. Anybody on staff who wanted to come in, for the designation ceremony, you know, walked away from their desk, walked away from the tool bench, came in and participated. And then they had this wonderful feed on top of it. But, you know, the company, you know, has really been a great example of somebody who went all in. And I'm looking forward to, right now they've been recovery friendly for just under a year. But I'm looking forward, you know, to sitting down with them after the first year and the second year to see what kind of metrics of success. Has it really cut down on turnover? How much has it helped? You know, because if you can cut down on turnover, it reduces the amount of recruitment you have to do. And so if it cuts down on turnover, I mean, that's the best example of a success that we're looking for. So I'm looking forward to seeing those metrics of success from Ace Pipe.
So I think now's a good time to talk more about the nuts and bolts of this program. So what are those first couple steps, and you know, what does the company actually have to go through? What are the, what does that process look like to achieving that formal designation?
Do you want me to start the conversation, Eric?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, the recovery-friendly Missouri website is where you go and you start, and you click that you want to get started on it, and you end up connecting with Ann McCauley, our project manager, on it. And all of the training is online. There's, you know, there's just a few modules. I've had businesses say that, you know, you can kick it all out in an afternoon if you really are, you know, put your mind to it. And also if your organizational ladder is short, if you've got to bump it up through different chains for approval, it may take a little longer. But it's basically doing a training on an online training on how language matters and understanding what recovery friendly is. Another module on how we have those conversations. And it's all online. It's all done through a platform called Canvas, the same online platform University of Missouri uses for hundreds, if not thousands, of courses across, you know. So it's a very easy to use platform to utilize. And the biggest thing that that may take some time to, you know, is writing your I want to say mission statement, but your affirmation statement, you know, for your inward facing message to your employees that you're recovery friendly. And then on the outside, after the designation process, we work with the business to write a press release for the external facing message to the community. And that's where the businesses, you know, see a lot of community connection is through the external message out into the public about them having become recovery friendly. Now, internally, Eric, how's that work internally? I mean, how much were you involved with the process?
So I was involved a little bit in the process internally, and mainly it was us, proposing this to the employees and allowing them to know what we're taking part of, which the rollout was very easy. It was successful. You know, I didn't have any negative feedback from any employees. In fact, like I said, you know, we've already been practicing these types of things anyway. And so a lot of the employees were very happy to see, you know, an initiative of this type take place at ACE. You know, and to dive a little bit further into the information that's presented through the modules, I'd love to say it wasn't dry, because it wasn't. It was saturated with information that should be common knowledge to all communities. You know, just about substance use disorder and who we are dealing with as a whole, because these are human beings that are suffering from issues. You know, and I believe that's the way we should be treating them.
Right. I mean, just personally, I know I've known folks that have struggled with those things, and, you know, losing a job is the last thing that is, you know, that they need. You know, a steady paycheck and an ability to support yourself is foundational to being a healthy, functional person. And so, yeah, just giving folks that opportunity to live that struggle but stay employed is huge.
Yeah, in today's society, most households are 60 days away from, you know, from being evicted for either foreclosure or not being able to pay their lease or their rent. You know, if they lose, you know, 2 months worth of paychecks, 60 days, and most mm-hmm. people are out. They don't have the reserves, and in our current society, you lose your job, you lose your health insurance. Mm-hmm. So the dominoes just start falling with the loss of a job, and then trying to get back in. And this is what Eric mentioned earlier about the deconstructing the stigma, trying to get people back into the workplace who have been in recovery or who are just as involved. These are stigmas that go back into, I refer to it as the Hollywood myth of the 70s and the 80s, that people made a lifestyle choice decision, and it's not. You know, there's a chemical reaction in the brain that goes along with addiction. And we now know that, but the business models that are still in place are decades old, that are barriers to employment or re-employment or in some cases, termination of employment because of a random test.
I love that you mention it's not a lifestyle choice that people make because, you know, somebody who suffered from this personally, you know, it wasn't. It was almost involuntary. By the time I wanted to quit, I couldn't quit. And, you know, dealing with those stigmas in workplaces was hard, you know, trying to explain an employment gap and relating it to substance use is one of the most difficult things you may have to do on an interview.
And some of the studies show as many as 7 out of 10 people currently addicted to opioids in the United States today got started in their doctor's office. It was a prescription for an ACL or a back injury, or maybe it was a, you know, root canal, or that's what got people started. And when the legal, you know, prescriptions, access to legal prescriptions ran out, they turned to the illegal market, you know, the second, you know, second sale market of people selling, you know, unused prescriptions. And when that failed, then they turned to things like heroin. And that's where it became very, becomes very dangerous because of how, you know, so much of the heroin and that kind of product is laced with fentanyl today, which is very deadly. Yeah. But some of the studies are saying as many as 7 out of 10 people currently addicted to opioids started in their doctor's office. And the addiction, the chemistry in the brain, was there, you know, is that for some people, it's as little as 3 pills and they're addicted.
Well, Eric, now that this has been in place for, I guess, a little under a year, do you have a sense of how it's affected your ability to retain folks or recruit folks into Ace Pipes umbrella?
You know, I don't think we've pushed too heavy on the recruiting side. Like I said, it's been a lot of word of mouth, mm-hmm. which has been amazing. You know, we've gained several amazing employees from word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that has been, you know, beyond beneficial. And as far as retention, I haven't noticed much of a difference, I would say, just because, as I was saying already, man, that there have already been methods in place that Ace Pipe is using. Now, the method that I have tried implementing or that I'm trying to implement throughout Ace is catching up with employees before it ever becomes a urinalysis. You know, I want to stop it on the front end before it ever gets to the back end and they're worried on top of all the other things they have going on, just like you said about losing their job, losing their insurance and this domino effect.
Doug, at this point, how many businesses throughout Missouri are involved in this program?
I wish I could give you the exact number, Luke, but the numbers are rising quick enough. I can't tell you exactly, but we're in the 3 dozen range. You know,
really?
Yeah. It's, right. Last I talked with Ann, we had, something like 20 businesses that were working on the process. So I think we're probably close to 3 dozen at this point. Yeah.
That's a great growth rate. Cause I think when I had Ann on this podcast, earlier this year. And at that time, I think like there were about 6, maybe 8.
Yeah.
And, so that's incredible just in 1 year.
Maybe that's all Eric's doing and he's out there promoting it too. But we're finding businesses are finding us. And the arc of acceptance has been when we first started our listening sessions that led to the creation of the Recovery Friendly Workplace Program, the overwhelming response from businesses was that we don't hire people like that, or we don't want to hire people like that. To which we said, you already have, they're just afraid to tell you. Now businesses are finding us on their own because they're realizing. So, and this is just 3 years. This is a societal shift in just 3 years. And that's remarkably impressive. And I'm eager to see what 3 more years is going to look like.
Right. And given the tightness of the labor market and how difficult it is to find quality workers, you know, if you've got a quality worker and they're struggling, it serves both of you to get that person the help they need.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than losing them.
Yeah. One of our businesses, Well, again, I think it was Tower Rock Stone who said this was not a social engineering experiment for them. This was a sound business decision. They know they can, because of the nature of their business, they're a very large quarry, dangerous work. So they have to document all their safety training. They can tell you within a dollar how much money they spend training somebody. So why throw that investment away, you know, when somebody's going to be out of work for maybe 4 to 6 weeks going through a treatment program? You're not going to be able to recruit somebody in that period of time. And you're certainly not going to be able to train them. So why not just give that person the chance to come back? And if they don't come back, you can still post the position during that period, or the vacancy during that period. If they don't come back, you can utilize, you know, the applicants from that. But if they come back, you've saved all that money. Mm-hmm. When I started working in this space almost 30 years ago of workforce, you know, and labor, we used to figure it cost the equivalent of an annual salary to recruit and train somebody for a job, regardless of the job, figure the cost of the annual salary. Now we look at being twice the cost of the annual salary to recruit and train somebody. So why throw away that investment when you can build loyalty by having opportunities like this to be second chance employers?
You know, and it gives employers an opportunity to show an employee that they're much more than just a number or a cog on the wheel. You know, it gives them that human value that they deserve again. You know, and as employers, we get this opportunity, a blessing, to wear our hearts on a sleeve. You know, we get this blessing to show people what we're really about and back it up with action by being part of the recovery-friendly workplace.
Yeah, so Eric, where do you see these efforts headed? Because you've been at this a little under a year. What's your hope for the future of this program?
Well, I guess my hope is, man, a change in vision, and that's across the board in people's eyes. You know, as we spoke of in the beginning, man, I would love to see substance use disorder recategorized. I would like to see people treated as human beings again. I would like to see it destigmatized across the board so people can get the help that they need instead of having to feel shame and guilt and being stuck in a corner or feeling like a complete failure, not being able to reach out or not knowing how to. Well, we all have dealt with this in some way or the other, and we all have the ability to obtain resources, especially as an employer, to push people to where they need to be and not where they're currently stuck at.
Yeah, to follow up on Eric's points, and, you know, excellent point, Eric, but I go back and I love history, and you go back and read about how some of these diseases were treated back in the 50s and 60s. Diabetes was considered a lifestyle choice. You brought it on because of your lack of exercise, the way you ate. That was your fault that you had diabetes. And in the 70s, we didn't talk about breast cancer. Oh, that was the dirty little secret. And don't get me started about how we dealt with AIDS. You know, and now all of those are recognized diseases that have great charitable foundations that are advancing the research into treatment and diagnosis and prevention of each of those diseases. And that's what has to happen with substance use disorder. Recognizing it as a disease and not, you know, is the first step. And then, you know, from there, we can start expanding how research looks at prevention and treatment and reintegration back into society.
Yeah, great points. I think, since we're, to be honest, guys, I think we have an amazing conversation here. So I guess I'd like to give you just a last chance. You know, is there anything that I haven't asked or anything that you wanted to add in?
I could start, Brother Doug, if that's okay with you.
Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, man. Well, all I can say to anybody who's listening, whether it be now or in the future, you know, if you're on the fence about being a recovery-friendly workplace employer, don't stall out. Don't hesitate. It's something that's going to help your company immensely and help the people in the community that you support. So jump off that fence and go ahead and do it. That's what I can say to people.
And I'd just add that, you know, that leather jacket of my father's. My father was in recovery. He was almost 30 years sober when he passed away nearly 2 years ago. And, you know, he was working, you know, in a second career, he was selling cars, and the owner of the car dealership said, I think you got a drinking problem. And it led to my father going into recovery. And that employer, that owner of the dealership, though, he saved my dad's job. He said, you go into treatment, I'll save your job. You come back here. If you want it, it'll be here. And dad did, and he did. And dad came back, and it wasn't a gift. The owner saw the quality of the salesman my father was. My dad stayed with him until he was killed in a car accident, you know, the owner. He stayed with him. He became a troubleshooter. He mentored other salesmen. He became a used car manager, or, you know, covered different managerial desks until finally the owner said, I'm wasting your talent. Why don't you go over and manage that Ford dealership for me? So he paid back that investment. It wasn't a gift. The work, he saw the value of my dad's employment. He invested in him. Now, not that's a great story if I just stopped right there. But the other thing is, my dad went on, you know, he got active with AA. And through conversations in AA, he started AA chapters in a state prison, a federal prison, and I think 5 county jails. So when people who got incarcerated could continue to their, you know, or get back into their programs. So the community, you know, benefited from that second chance opportunity that was offered my father too. So it's not a gift. It's, you know, it's not charity. It's seeing like that old leather jacket. It's not perfect. It's got blemishes, but it can still do its job.
Well said. Yeah. This is going to be a great, great episode.
That's because of Eric. It's all Eric.
Oh, both of you guys.
It's all cool. Hey, and Luke, what can I say?
Hey,
I'll take it. That was Eric Cohen of Ace Pipe Cleaning, one of the first 6 businesses in Missouri to become recovery friendly. Thanks for listening. Make sure to follow us on your podcast app so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. I'm Luke Dieterle. This episode was produced by Afshan Musani with research help from John Klo. Executive producers are Sarah Riley and Mike Quinata. Senior Program Director for MU Extension's Business and Communities is Dr. Rob Russell. This is Show Me Mo Success.